Our third case this morning is number 07-1151, the United States against Wethington. Cook.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Ong. My name is Jesse Cook, and I represent Jerome Wethington. Mr. Wethington's case comes to you by way of an appeal from the district court's denial of his pro se motion to withdraw his guilty plea. Mr. Wethington was a party to a plea agreement which provided that in exchange for his guilty plea to five counts of robbery affecting interstate commerce in violation of the Hobbs Act and one count of brandishing a firearm in connection with a robbery, he would receive a fixed term of 22 years in the custody of the Bureau of Prisons pursuant to Rule 11C1C. The guilty plea hearing followed the signatures on the plea agreement by approximately 4 days, and it was obvious during the conduct of the plea colloquy that there were problems with Mr. Wethington's understanding of the nature of the plea. He expressed to the trial court during the plea hearing that he was having doubts about his plea, that he really didn't want to plead guilty, that he had had an insufficient amount of time within which to consider the plea offer made by the government and needed more time to reflect upon it.
How do you support that theory that he didn't want to plead guilty, other than his assertion at this time?
Mr. Wethington testified at the sentencing hearing that his plea was involuntary because he felt as though it was coerced both by the conditions of his confinement at the Marion County Jail and by the fact that he had had insufficient time within which to consider the offer made by the government. That was the basis for his argument that the plea was not voluntary. During the...
What evidence do you have other than his assertion, I ask you?
There was no evidence presented at either hearing. Mr. Wethington raised the issue pro se. During the guilty plea hearing, Mr. Wethington also questioned whether he would be entitled to receive a reduction in the 22-year sentence called for by the plea agreement based upon acceptance of responsibility. It was obvious that he was confusing the fixed term which the government had agreed to in the plea agreement with a sentence guideline computation. Pursuant to Rule 11D, Mr. Wethington would be entitled to withdraw his guilty plea if he made the motion prior to sentencing, which he did, and if he was able to articulate a fair and just basis for withdrawal of his plea. His position during the sentencing hearing was both that the plea was not voluntary because of the coercive effects of his incarceration and the limited amount of time which he had to consider the plea, and that he entered his plea under a mistake or misapprehension. The mistake or misapprehension to which he referred was his belief that he was entitled to a reduction in the 22-year sentence based upon application of the sentencing guidelines and the acceptance of responsibility which he believed should apply to his sentence.
What did Judge Hamilton tell Hamilton tell him at the plea stage? Didn't he tell him he's going to get 22 years?
He did. He expressed to him that the plea called for 22 years, and shortly after Judge Hamilton told him that the plea called for a fixed term of 22 years, which the court did not have the power to change, Mr. Wethington again inquired about whether he might be entitled to acceptance of responsibility points. He returned to that issue during the sentencing hearing and explained to the court that he was confused, partially because in the communications which he had had with counsel prior to entry of the plea, there had been an explanation of the sentencing guideline structure, and also because his counsel had received on his behalf a written plea offer from the government where acceptance of responsibility was referenced in that letter. Mr. Wethington interpreted that to mean that if he accepted the plea proffered by the government, he would be entitled to a reduction in sentence by the acceptance of responsibility. I think if the court considers the totality of the circumstances here, several things must be taken into consideration. First, Mr. Wethington is a 21-year-old individual who, at the time he entered his plea, had 9 years of formal education. He'd had a few additional credits achieved primarily in some juvenile justice facilities and obtained his GED immediately prior to sentencing. This was a complex case in terms of the nature of the charges and the multitude of robberies which the government alleged, some which could be introduced and some which may not have been introduced. And clearly, Mr. Wethington expressed confusion about the applicability of the guidelines during the plea colloquy and again during the sentencing hearing. It would be his position that, given the totality of the circumstances here, a liberal interpretation of what constitutes a fair and just basis for withdrawal of the plea should have been applied, and the district court should have found that he had articulated a sufficient basis for withdrawal of his plea, especially in a situation where the government does not contend that it would be prejudiced by withdrawal of the plea. Mr. Wethington requests that the court remand this matter to the district court with direction to permit him to withdraw his guilty plea and proceed to trial. If there are no questions, I'll take my seat.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. We'll hear now from Mr. Ahn.
Thank you. May it please the court, Winfield Ong for the United States. There are 3 points I want to make. First, I'd suggest it's evident from the plea and sentencing colloquies, which were substantial, that the government's proffer of supporting the guilty plea evidenced overwhelming guilt, that Mr. Wethington said he was guilty at the plea colloquy to each charge that he had to plead guilty to. But more importantly, perhaps, it's evident from the colloquy that he acknowledged, made substantive acknowledgments of his guilt. There were comments along the way, both during the plea hearing and during the sentencing, in which he acknowledged that he did do this, and the point being that the ultimate injustice is not at issue here. Mr. Wethington was guilty, and he acknowledged that as clearly as he could at both the plea and sentencing. Second, I'd suggest that the plea colloquy and the sentencing colloquy at which Mr. Wethington asked to withdraw his plea were as thorough and open as one could, as it could possibly have been. Judge Hamilton's colloquies, I'd suggest, are a model of how this could be handled, given it was a difficult defendant. He moved to withdraw his plea in a sort of convoluted way. Judge Hamilton walked him through it, gave him as much time as reasonably could have been expected to explain all the reasons he might want to withdraw his plea. Judge Hamilton, it really almost amounting to a stream of consciousness by the end. Judge Hamilton then brought a construct to Mr. Wethington's complaints and then gave a very well-reasoned rejection of each point, relying on the record, in particular how clearly he had laid out during the plea just exactly what Mr. Wethington was facing. I'll add in particular the issue of acceptance that was brought up by Mr. Wethington both during the plea and the sentencing at his withdrawal. And Judge Hamilton several times told him that was not an issue, that it was a 22-year sentence, and whatever guidelines were out there really were not that pertinent to what was going to happen. And Mr. Wethington acknowledged that. As I point out in the brief, Mr. Wethington even talked himself about getting 22 years. Finally, I'd suggest not only was that the reasons for withdrawal not did not amount to fair and just reasons, Judge Hamilton, after ruling on all of Mr. Wethington's arguments, found that there was really more a suggestion from Mr. Wethington that he was simply trying to postpone the finality of the conviction. What he really wanted here was the benefit of pleading guilty without actually having finality to this, and that he was grasping to try and prolong this matter just because he didn't want to go to jail for 22 years, which he did make quite clear. But on the other hand, he didn't want to go to jail for the life sentence that he was certainly risking if he went to trial. So for all those reasons, the government asks that the court affirm Judge Hamilton's well-reasoned opinion denying Mr. Wethington's motion to withdraw his guilty plea. If there are no further questions, the government will rest.
Thank you, Mr. Rong. How much time does Ms. Cook have? Thank you.
Just briefly, Your Honor. Mr. Wethington did acknowledge his guilt during the plea colloquy, but his assertion of innocence would only be one of a constellation of factors to be considered in deciding whether or not to permit a withdrawal of his guilty plea. As this court noted in the Loudis opinion in 2004, those factors which the court should consider in making a determination about whether or not to permit withdrawal of a plea, in addition to an assertion of innocence, which is absent in this case, are factors such as the complexity of the charges, the defendant's level of intelligence, the defendant's age, the defendant's educational background, representation by counsel, and the nature of the inquiry, as well as the defendant's statements made both during the plea and sentencing colloquies, which might reflect upon his understanding or misunderstanding of the case. It would be Mr. Wethington's position here that a number of these factors, including his age, his level of education, and the confusion regarding the application of the sentencing guidelines to the plea agreement, would merit a finding that he articulated a sufficient basis for withdrawal of his guilty plea. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. Ms. Cook, you served by appointment of the court, and the court would like to express its deep thanks to you for your fine efforts on behalf of your client. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel in the case, and it will be taken under advisement.